But I'm going to start out a little differently today. I would like, as you are able to, please stand up. And I want to ask you, how many of you know the hokey pokey? Okay. You put your right arm in, you put your right arm out, you put your right arm in, shake it about, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. We've got a slide. So you've got the words, and we're going to do the hokey pokey. We're going to do the right hand, left hand, head, and whole self. It's about all we have room for. Okay. You put your right arm in, you put your right arm out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Left hand, you put your left hand in, you put your left hand out, you put your left hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Your head. You put your head in, you put your head out, you put your head in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what. Now your whole self. You put your whole self in, you put your whole self out, you put your whole self in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Give yourself a big round of applause. And you may be seated. Thank you, Rob. Now you may be thinking, what the heck is she doing? Well, this is a very metaphysical dance, if you didn't know it. Because putting your whole self in, especially that last line, putting your whole self in, isn't that the way we need to live our life? Not putting just different parts of ourself in, but putting our whole self in. I mean, we need to put our whole self into our entire life. You know, not just a part, an elbow or a hand or a foot or a head. But that's what we tend to do, don't we, with life? We tend to put our big toe in, but we don't put our whole self in. And so we need to put all parts of ourself. We need to put our whole self into life. Now, there may be parts of ourselves, our local selves, our ego, that tries to, you know, convince us that we are separate from God and from each other. You know, that we're here living our life alone in separation. You know, just putting one part in at a time, but never jumping all the way in. And so our greatest spiritual work is really done when we can begin to start freeing ourselves from that illusion of separation with the beloved, with that divine essential self. And the way we do that is by putting our whole self into life. By knowing and affirming, I am essence, I am the beloved. So would you affirm that with me? Together, I am essence, I am the beloved. Barbara Marx Hubbard, in her book Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence, which is the book that we're studying for this fall program that we're in the midst of, she writes this: as we are willing to learn responsibility for our own emergence and fulfillment as universal humans, we become co-creators of our own reality, entering an inspired dance. I love that. Between the local selves, the essential self, other people, and the larger field. She says the choreographer of this divine dance is the universal designing intelligence incarnating in and as us. Now, I am absolutely convinced that this divine dance would be the hokey pokey. Absolutely. You know, our whole self goes in. You know, so we need to bring all parts of our local selves to the party. We need to invite all parts of us to come into the inner sanctuary. You're not and putting our whole self into life and healing any sense and a sense of separation, because it's not true, but healing any sense of separation between the ego and our divine essence. So here we are in week 6 of our 7-week fall program, Births 2012, co-creating a planetary shift. And we're in the home stretch here. We've got one more week to go of the 7 weeks that we have spent together. We've been studying this book by Barbara Marx Hubbard, Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence. We've been birthing ourselves as universal humans, and we have been awakening to something new within us. And I'd just like to kind of recap the weeks, just for those of you who may have not been here or missed a week or two. But we started out this whole series by entering the inner sanctuary, by preparing, preparing a field of readiness for in which the beloved we can awaken to the beloved within us, and creating that space for something new to happen. And then the second week we spent welcoming the beloved. We prepared a place and we welcomed the beloved in. We became really aware that of ourselves as this divine essential spiritual self, as the beloved, as the Christ within, and we made a commitment to spending as much time as possible in the presence of the beloved. And then the third week, we began to accept this new identity, and we began this journey of coming home to ourselves, coming home to the beloved, coming home all the way to who we truly are. And then the fourth week, we spent it in union, uniting the human and the divine, really opening ourselves to the joy of oneness with our true self, our essential self, the Christ within. And then last week, we took the shift. We started shifting our identity, really stepping into and experiencing the union between the human and the divine, between our humanity and our divinity, spending less time in the ego and spending way, way more time as our essence. So beginning that shift from ego to essence. And then this week, it's about co-creation. It's about repatterning our lives. Now, I just want to take a little moment to pause here, because I said something last week that a lot of people said, oh, thank you for saying that. And I want to reiterate it, because I think it's very essential to really realize that Barbara has taken over 13 years to develop this work on emergence. She began her emergence process in 1999. And she says in the book that this emergence process is still unfolding in her 13 years later. It's still ongoing. So don't think you're going to get it in 7 weeks. This is just a little overview. It's planting a seed. You then need to take these ideas each step and go deeper with it. Spend months on it until you feel the shift. It's going to take you years. And then when you finish the 10 steps, you're going to go back and you're going to start again on step one, because you'll be in a brand new place. So this is an evolutionary process that we're moving through. So again, this week we're in co-creation. We're repatterning our lives. We're not focusing on the outer, world of human existence, on lack and limitation, about what's not working, about how hard life is. But we're beginning now to shift and repattern the way we look at life. And we begin to look inward, look within to the infinite possibilities, the divine potential, and choose to live in heaven every single moment, choosing to live in that kingdom of heaven. I'm choosing heaven today, as we sang for our opening song. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is where? Within. It's within you. It's within. This realm of ever-expanding, ever-increasing good is within you. It's within you. And so the more that we can begin to focus ourselves on this inner being, this inner resource, this inner sanctuary within, the more we can do that, we tap into the infinite good of the universe. And then what happens is that the universe then begins to move and rearrange and repattern itself in ways that bring forth that good to us. It brings it to us. And so we begin to educate our local selves to not look outside for answers, but rather reside more and more and more in the still, quiet center of our being. always looking within to the inner sanctuary so we can experience the presence of the Beloved before we make any decision. So more and more we begin living inside out rather than how we've been doing it is outside in. But we need to go inward and then move out. And when we can learn to do everything as that expression of the divine essential Beloved, that divine self that we are, then we begin to co-create our own reality. And we begin to realize that everything I'm seeking, everything I need, it's already within me. It's already within. You don't have to go looking for it. It's already within you. And so this is how Jesus lived his whole life, so connected, so in tune with God, with the Beloved, that he could say, I and the Beloved are one. He could say, you see my face and you see the face of God. You know, when people were in his presence, they were transformed. I mean, there was a woman who all she had to do in a whole crowd of people, reach out and touch a thread of his garment, the hem of his garment, and she was healed. He went to his friend Lazarus and raised him from the dead. You know, Jesus was so at one with the Beloved that there was this energy flowing and people all around him were changed. Isn't that the kind of life you want to have? Don't you want to live that kind of life, have that kind of presence that people are changed when you walk in the room? Ah, there's love. There's peace. You know, to be that kind of presence in the midst of chaos around you, but being that loving, grounded presence. It's available to us all the time. It's all the time, but we're the ones who go to sleep. We forget. Now, Jesus tells a story about this relationship with God. And it's actually our story, because in Unity, we look at the Bible metaphysically. And so it's our story of transformation. And so here's the story that Jesus tells. He talks about a son going to his father and asking for his portion of his inheritance. You know, hey, Dad, you know, before you die, can I have what's mine? And the father says, absolutely, of course, my son. Everything I have is yours. Everything. And that's what God says to all of us. He says, it is my good pleasure, my greatest pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whatever it is you need, whatever you want, it's my pleasure to give it to you. But the son takes his inheritance and goes out to a far country. You know, don't we do that? There are parts of ourselves that think that we have to solve all of our problems on our own in separation from God. So we go out on our own. And it says that the son squandered his father's money in loose living. Now, for us today, that might be drugs, alcohol, workaholism, loneliness. And then one day, feeling very alone and feeling really worn out, we might ask, is this all there is? Is this all there is? And so the prodigal son has a moment. And I think for many of us here in this room, you have probably had a similar moment. The story says he came to himself. He woke up. He saw clearly for the very first time. And he said, wow, I had it really good back at my father's house. And so he got up and he turned to go home. You know, when we just turn to the Beloved, in that moment, we remember who we are. We just have to turn. Is that willingness and that action of actually just turn. He didn't even have to take the first step. He turned. And then what the story says is that the father rushed out to greet him. He didn't even have to take a step, and the father was there, rushed out to embrace him. And it wasn't, you know, my slime bag, scum of the earth, good for nothing son. It was welcome home. Welcome home. Let's celebrate. My son who was lost is now found. Let's have a party. Because the real truth is that we have never been outside of God's love. Ever, ever. We're the ones who feel like we've left home. We're the ones who feel the pain of separation. But the truth is, the Beloved has never been separate from us. And so there's no going home. There's only waking up to the truth, which again is, and say it with me, I am essence. I am the Beloved. When you know this, there's no pain, there's no separation. There's oneness, there's joy, there's love, there's peace. When you truly know this in every fiber of your being. Barbara Marx Hubbard, in Emergence, she writes, when ego and essence fuse, relaxation deepens. As the stress of separation disappears, the bliss of union spreads. As my local selves are educated, they become willing instruments of my unfolding. And so these separate parts of ourselves that we feel are so scattered and lost and scared, we bring them back and we feel this union. And in that presence, everyone is whole. We are whole. And so now to live at this level, I believe that we need to develop four practices. The first practice I believe we need to develop is deep soulful listening. You know, it's not enough anymore to just get up in the morning, say a quick prayer, read your daily word, and then run out the door. We need to spend more and more time sitting in the inner sanctuary in the presence of the Beloved, deeply, deeply listening. We need to develop this practice of creating heaven within us and taking it with us wherever we go. And from this consciousness, we will always be in the right place at the right time. We take it into everything that we do. We take it into everywhere that we go. We deeply listen to that inner guidance. So deep, soulful listening. Second practice I think we need to develop is to be fully yourself. To be fully yourself, to really believe that there's a divine intelligence that is within you, that you are the Beloved, the Christ, Atman, Buddha, whatever you call it. You know, just marvel at the wonderful creation that you are. And then believe that, know it, take it out, live it, be it. The universe needs you to stop playing small and needs you to start being all that you came here to be. So be fully yourself, that divine presence, the Beloved that you are. Third practice that I think we need to develop is to empower each other. Not just for ourselves, but to empower. That's what Jesus did. You know, when Jesus stepped into a room, everybody was changed. Everybody was different because of that presence that he carried. There's a story about Joe Montana, a football great. He went to Kansas City after winning 4 Super Bowls for San Francisco. It'd been a long time since the Kansas City Chiefs had been to a Super Bowl, so there was some anticipation and excitement. But what was interesting was when Joe Montana got there, all of the players were interviewed. And they all said the same thing. They said, when Joe Montana walked on the field, every player was better. Every player was better. So wouldn't you love to have that kind of presence? To be able to walk into a gathering of friends, be able to come to church and know that every single person is more and better because of your presence being there. Wouldn't that be a great thing to carry with you? And we do that by empowering others, by not saying, you know, what's in it for me, but really empowering others to be their highest and their best. And so when we're deeply listening, soulful, you know, deep soulful listening, and when we show up as the Beloved, and when we empower others, then we're compelled to get into action, which is our fourth practice that I think we need to develop, to get into action, to start co-creating with others. You can make a difference in other people's lives, in this community, in this church, in the future of this world. You can make a difference. And when you start acting as the Beloved, then you will always be in the right place at just the right moment. Barbara writes, and I'd like to end with this today. This is from Emergence. When I penetrate all the way down to the depths where the self has first felt its separation from God. There I find the root of this illusory separation, the hopeless feeling that I, egoic self, have to make the world transform. I stop, and because I have been practicing in the inner sanctuary, I surrender into the bliss of union. And then she says, there, the world is already transformed, and I, the beloved, am already there. And so let's experience being there in the inner sanctuary and really surrender to that oneness as we move into our meditation. And so I invite you to find that comfortable place where you can relax and let go, take a deep breath, and open your heart. And so relaxed and quiet and enjoying your own inner peace. Feeling centered and calm. Have one desire. To know the beloved. To feel God's presence. Allow yourself to be touched and enfolded by this love so deep. The simple technique to quiet the mind is on the inhalation. Silently say the words to yourself within, God is. And on the exhalation, love. Just breathe normally, but affirm silently on the breath, inhaling God is, exhaling love. Breathing in, I am. Breathing out, love. God is, love. I am, love. Inhale, exhale, gently, easily. God is love. I am love. Allow this to lead you more and more deeply into the inner sanctuary within you. Feel God's presence at the center of your being, where you are in God and God is in you. And center your attention in the beloved. And if you become aware of any thoughts or images, just simply return to breathing in, God is. Breathing out, love. Breathing in, I am. Breathing out, love. Letting it lead you deeper and deeper within. And in this moment, seek the beloved with all your hearts. Make that your one desire. Be still. Center yourself in the divine presence. Know your oneness. Touch the stillness. Feel God's love enfold you as we rest now. In the silence. The presence of God is always with you. Wherever you are, God is. There is no separation. You and the Beloved are one. You are the Beloved. There is only one. And as our meditation is coming to a close, I invite you to return to this moment in time, to this place, filled with light, with the peace, with the stillness of the silence, knowing your oneness with the divine presence, which is who you are. We acknowledge your presence with us always, sweet spirit. Thank you, God, for your infinite love, for your peace in our lives, and for your healing presence in the silence. We are immersed in the light, in the peace, in God's love, and for this we are grateful. We return to this moment changed at depths. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. And we let it be. Amen.